Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John's a cool guy, he's a really cool guy. John's a cool guy and he lives a cool life. John's a cool guy, he's a really cool guy. John's a cool guy and he lives a cool life. Hello dreamers and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. My voice is croaking after two nights in a field. But we're going to get through this together. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it will form the beginnings of the script of the next hit BBC drama. I will play a sexy hitman hell-bent on killing the neurotic, if brilliant, John Harris.
Ah.
I'm Joel, a man who puts the ass in Assassin, and yes, I know I've done that one before, but there are two asses in Assassin, so I can do it again. And across from me is John Harris, a man who has stolen a total of 12 cash machines in his life, but has never figured out how to get them open, sheepishly returning each one to the hole left in the wall just hours after ramming it with a forklift truck. There was a real spate of cash machine robberies when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that makes sense as a thing to do. We're not going to explain why Joel was in a field for 2 days. It's exactly what you think it was. He was alone and naked.
Whatever you think it was, that's what it was. And, you know, it's just the time of year when we have to sacrifice Salam to the pod overlords.
Last night I was drinking and I decided, after a few drinks, I was like, I used to be really quick at drinking, like really quick. I wonder if I still am.
Right.
Four drinks later, turns out I am still really quick at drinking.
How quick?
I can really drink. Like, very fast. So, we're both worse for wear. No, it was more just, yeah. P.S. I'm a legend. No, it was kind of a pre-warning that I think we're both going to be a bit ropey today.
Anyway, let's pitch some movies. One from me. This was the most read news story on the BBC website the other day, according to Jodie. When dog owner Steve Rostron went for an evening stroll with his pet, they came across a distressed magpie behind a telephone junction box. For Mike, the magpie, and Boo the Whippet, it was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. So Steve's out walking his dog, Mike. Also, a lot going on there. A man called Steve has called his dog Mike. That's proper man's best friend stuff, isn't it? All right, Mike. All right, Steve. Walk? Yeah, walk. What's a magpie doing near a telephone box? Who's it trying to call? You know,
is the magpie called Boo?
No, Boo. Oh, no, the magpie's called Mike. And the whippet's called Boo.
Oh.
Take it back. Steve's named his dog Boo. A lot more respect for that. I don't know who's named the magpie. What I was thinking is that magpies quite famously like to collect shiny objects. So I could feasibly imagine it would collect a coin and take it to a phone box to make a phone call. If I had to pick any aviationary creature that I think would be able to make a phone call, it would be the magpie.
You think?
Yeah.
What would they say? Who are they calling? Big questions.
They're calling the other magpies. Because you need a collection of magpies.
This magpie is actually the head of a criminal organisation that is stealing cash machines because it loves how shiny the coins are.
Nice. And I'm always using those coin-based cash machines. Run up, pop my card in. Yes, I'll have 33 pence from this machine, please. Thank you very much.
I'm an idiot.
Shiny £5 note.
I'm not even going to blame that.
Well, it could be like those. It could be like those Coinstars.
Yeah, they're stealing Coinstars.
They're stealing Coinstars. Have you ever used one?
Well, I don't think I used it, but I went with a mate to watch one get used.
How was it? Everything you
incredible.
Imagined it to be?
It was incredible.
You're quick at drinking. How quick, in relative terms, is a Coinstar at counting coins? Who's quicker? I give you a pint of beer and a Coinstar a pint of coins. Who downs it first?
Me. There's only one way to find out.
There is a sensational bit of content in you drinking a pint of beer in the amount of time it takes something else to shift a pint of whatever it is it's designed to process.
I can drink quite quickly, but nothing on my brother. My older brother, he's just like, he just switches off his gullet, which sounds wrong.
How did he do that? Little bun?
On his throat.
I'm out tonight, I'll leave the gullet at home.
He presses his Adam's apple.
The gullet just opens up like a sluice. There's no joy to be had in that, though, right?
Well, being able to drink really quickly.
Yeah.
No, it's just a party trick, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're like party trick quick?
No, he's party trick quick. So I'm just a really quick drinker.
Bit depressing. So you're not
no
at the
one's
level
watching.
Of quick where
no
it's
one's
impressive.
Watching or clapping or
yeah.
cheering.
Yeah.
They're just looking at my empty glass going, again?
Yeah. Anyway, so there's this dog called Boo and a magpie called Mike, and they're best mates.
Best mates.
They're really good friends. Does the magpie ride on the back of the dog?
Probably. What could a magpie need a dog's assistance for?
Good question. What can a dog get hold of that's shiny that a magpie couldn't get hold of?
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
Nothing in the world. I can't think of the top of my head.
You're really doing dogs a disservice there.
My main thing is the thought that, like, I like the idea of what's bigger than a magpie?
Good question.
A crow?
Text us. Let us know. If you could just tweet us things that are bigger than a magpie, that would be really useful.
Literally anything.
Anything you can think of that's bigger than a magpie, because we're a bit stumped. At the moment, we can't think of anything that exists that's bigger than a magpie.
So I'm thinking of birds, or as you would say, aviationary creatures.
To use the Latin. We've got a classy audience. They expect better.
I'm thinking about, would a blackbird? Is a black? What's the difference? It's crows, magpies, blackbirds. What's happening here?
It's a good question. It's an interesting question. They get progressively evil, right?
Yeah.
Blackbird, crow, raven.
Did I say raven? I forgot raven.
Forget a raven at your peril.
Okay.
I'd say that's fair, isn't it?
Mm.
Tweet us. Let us know. Yeah. What's the most evil bird? The raven's genuinely terrifying.
So a bunch of ravens are bullying this
magpie.
That's
like, it's a murder of crows, a bunch of ravens. Is that right?
Yeah. So this bunch of ravens, they're bullying this magpie, and this dog, this whippet called Boo
the whippet, yeah,
Boo, scares them right off, and then they become best mates.
Okay, nice. So actually, it's the magpie doing favors for the dog, and there's lots of situations you can envision that being a thing, because magpies can get to places that are pretty high up. Dogs can't even look up, so the magpie teaches the dog what's up.
What's that theory about?
Is it a theory, or is it a bit in Shaun of the Dead? You're always doing this. You're getting scientific theory and quotes from Simon Pegg films confused.
I'm pretty sure that all of the Cornetto trilogy are entirely scientifically accurate.
Yeah, they're actually published as scientific journals.
So
dogs can't look up, but magpies can fly up, so the magpie teaches the dog everything that's above it.
It describes the scenes.
It describes it, It teaches the dog about clouds.
It's actually just a really lovely, low-budget British film about friendship.
Beautiful.
Unlikely friendships.
A beautiful thing. Have you got a film for me, John? And if so, what is it?
What about this one from Grace? Andre, brackets the giant. Do you know Andre? I know about Andre.
The giant?
No. There's not a film called Andre.
3000.
Andre Ice Cold 3000, The Giant.
That's the film I want to hear, Grace.
So Andre is a film from the 90s. And let me describe the cover of the DVD for you. Because, little known fact, I say little known, probably only I know it and maybe two other people.
Okay, good.
One of my girlfriend's favourite films from her childhood is this film, Andre, that I've never seen.
Right.
And so for Christmas, I bought her the DVD, accidentally bought the wrong region DVD, so
nightmare.
It doesn't work.
Nightmare. Whoa.
Anyway, so the cover is a young girl, I'm going to say like 6, 7, 8 age, right?
Yep.
She's wearing a backwards baseball cap.
Sounds very cool already.
Baggy sweater, you know, 90s child vibes. And next to her is a seal wearing sunglasses.
I'm very invested.
Wearing sunglasses, a t-shirt and a cap, right?
Yeah.
And then
under
the title, Andre, it says, based on a true story. So
is it like Free Willy?
I think so, yeah. And there's like Flipper, isn't there, as well? There's,
oh, yeah, yeah.
In the 90s, they were like, we need children and aquatic creatures
yeah,
to be
pair
mates.
Them up. Pair up kids with an aquatic creature.
So, yeah, I think it's basically Free Willy, but with a seal or a sea lion. Apologies.
Oh, is Andre the seal?
Andre the Giant plays a seal.
Okay.
Or voices the seal.
Voices, yeah.
I'm not sure he would be the best voice actor in the world.
Because he's dead?
largely because of the dead thing.
Yeah. We use clips from The Princess Bride to dub over a seal in this film.
Now, yeah, or I'll be honest with you, I'm actually really vibing with the idea of, sorry, Grace, but the idea of Andre 3000 playing a talking seal.
Oh, I'd be all over that.
That sounds
I'd
like,
be first in line at the cinema the day.
That sounds like a genuinely great film.
It does, yeah. There you go.
And it's based in the 90s.
Perfect. He was around in the 90s. He can remember it. He can bring something to the character.
He can be making up-to-date 90s references.
If you make a 90s film based on a true story about a seal and a little girl, is that a period drama?
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course it is.
You just think, when you hear period drama, you associate it with like Victorians.
Yeah.
And Georgians. But really, if we made a film set in 2015, would that be a period drama?
Well, Spotlight, that came out a couple years ago, was only based on story from like a few years before
the week
that.
Before.
And it was weird, like, because it was a period piece, but in like the most subtle way. Like, the clothes were slightly different, computers were slightly bigger, the phones were less good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But it's still, yeah, technically it's a period piece.
Good. Well, I'm learning.
So, every day's a school day, Joel. Do you want another one from me?
Yes.
What about this one from Tim? An Inspector Gadget calls.
Very good. J.B. Priestley play.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I remember. There's something about the Titanic in Inspector Calls.
Is there?
Yeah, I think it might be a throwaway line, but that's all I remember from school. I very specifically remember there being... here you go. So a little look at my school hood years. I remember that's how I learned about dramatic irony, because there's a bit in the play where they're like, oh, they've just finished that Titanic boat. It's never going to sink. But obviously the audience know that it has sunk, because the play was written after the events of the Titanic. And that's how I learned that dramatic irony could be a thing, when the audience knows something that the people on stage don't.
That's very
like
interesting.
How the audience know this isn't a very good podcast, but we're completely oblivious to that fact.
Well, I was about to say, is the entire podcast dramatic irony because everyone listening knows infinitely more than we do?
Essentially, yeah.
Every time we speak, the audience knows more than
we do. Yeah, they know we've made a mistake. But what they don't realise is we're doing it for effect. We're using it as a tool. It's all dramatic irony.
This is all an act. Yeah.
We've got it, guys.
Don't meet us on the don't meet your heroes.
How much can you tell me about an Inspector Calls? I know that an Inspector Calls round. You know, he pops his head round and he's like, you know, I don't know, one of you's a murderer.
So it's about a family, and I'd imagine they're like upper middle class family, and an inspector shows up. He calls. Essentially, through the course of the evening, he reveals that members of this same family all contributed to the suicide of a young woman in different ways.
Wow.
And it's each one of these, each time that this lady, you know, finds, looks like her life is going somewhere, one of them shows up to spoil it and be selfish. And they're all little acts, but it obviously contributes. But then the twist is at the end. It's essentially like, it becomes like a sci-fi at the end, because then he leaves and then they realise that technically the timeline doesn't really perfectly work. Or something, they get a call saying an inspector's about to come round.
What the hell? So there wasn't a... So who was the person, not an inspector?
The ghost.
What the hell? And in your version, he's just got extendable legs. And the twist is, when he leaves the building, he does so with really long legs.
Yeah.
So no reveal, the entire way through. He completely plays straight. And then he goes to leave, and he just reaches out right across the room and gets his coat. Like, what the fuck? What a twist that would be. A lot of him was metal the whole way through.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
That's good. That's good.
Another one? Another one, as Khaled would say.
Mm-hmm. DJ Khaled. Let's have another one.
What about this one from Lewis? Superman bun.
Right. Yep.
Superman bun.
Has the man bun got the powers?
Does the man bun have the powers? It's a great question, Joel, and I've really thought about it.
It's like, the guy?
It's Samson. It's Samson.
Yeah.
He's got a Samsung Galaxy S3.
He's got a Samsung Galaxy S3, but when he turns it off, he loses all of his powers.
Yeah, so that happens.
Only when he's got a phone signal can he use his powers.
He's got basic Superman powers, and yeah, it's all activated by a Samsung Galaxy S3.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He hooks it up to his man bun.
Anyway, what about this one from Flash?
My voice isn't going to reach that.
Raspberry Pi Beret. Joel's listening.
I'm into it because I love building my own computers.
So a computer enthusiast buys a Raspberry Pi to play MIDI versions of his favorite Prince songs. However, once connected to the web, it develops AI and creates a Godzilla-sized Prince hologram that tries to take over the world.
I'd let it. Let it. That's the thing. You know, normally these big bad monsters, they're not going to improve the situation. But a giant Prince, that's a different story. If giant Prince goes to New York, I think people are like, great, how do I get tickets? But when it's Godzilla, you know, they kind of run in fear.
Is he breaking buildings with shredding riffs?
He's a hologram. He's a hologram, so he's just passing through buildings, just wandering around, giant Prince.
Sounds pretty great.
Whereas if it was Flash. Like... yeah, that's the world I want to live in. Maybe each city has its greatest musical export created as a giant hologram, and they all fight each other in the Atlantic Ocean.
Now we're talking Kaiju,
yeah.
It's like that.
But with the greatest soundtrack of all time.
I feel like I need to stop bringing up this map because it's...
So Joss Stone's there.
Basically we all pick... Oh, it's a bit like that episode of Rick and Morty where the big heads appear and say, show me what you got.
Yeah, it is like
but
that.
But it's for each country or continent. Are we talking like, do Wales get their own representative? Is Tom Jones there?
Tom Jones. He'll go deep into that tournament, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. If it's a physical fight,
we've already won this. Yeah. Tom Jones should just turn up and be like, come on, guys.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What about this one from Johnny? My Saturday-inspired film, Washing Up.
Oh, and don't do Washing Up on a Saturday. And also, Johnny, you're washing up once a week, mate. What the hell? You're a grown man. Wash up when the dinner's done. Otherwise, you will forever spend every day, or every Saturday, doing a week's worth of washing up. Is it a shared house situation? What's happening here?
Yeah, let's not talk about the film. Let's just really investigate Johnny's
sad life
situation.
Johnny, I would look. Here's my policy: get the washing up done as soon as possible because stuff's just going to dry on there. Imagine, Johnny. Imagine in Johnny's world, he has eggs on Monday night, and then he's waiting till Saturday to clean up the eggs.
Right. What about that?
He must be chucking pans out every week.
He's having an egg on Monday night, but even worse, for breakfast he's had some Weetabix on Monday morning.
Oh my word!
It's like cement, Johnny. Isn't it?
We're going to have to get up at 7 a.m. to start the soaking process on a Saturday. There must be an easier way to do this.
Washing up. The film Up, but it's cleaner.
It's a pretty clean film.
Yeah.
I don't remember any smut.
But also physically, it's also a clean film. It's not like a dirt, like... they're like walking to a mountain, a cliff at one point. Well, for most of it. But I never thought, I could do it with a wash.
Those guys need a scrub.
They do.
Maybe it's they have a big bath together.
Maybe.
Is that fine? Can you bath with strangers? I've been out of the game for a long time.
You definitely can't.
Okay.
Well, no, consenting adults can bath together if they want to.
That's good of you.
I decree permission that they can consent and share a bath.
And where can they do that? Have you got an address?
The idea of sharing a bath is like envisioned as quite like a...
It's one of the worst things you can ever attempt to do.
A sexy, cool couple thing to do, but it just sounds awful.
I'm 6'2". I can't even share a bath with myself.
Yeah.
Let alone another person.
I never get into a bath and think, ugh, room for
yeah.
more.
Oh, roomy. I don't know what to do with myself.
I'll go for a swim.
There are people in this world with fancy baths.
Yeah.
They can fit many people in.
How big does a bath have to be before it comes a hot tub?
Bigger than a magpie. And that's not a thing.
What's a hot tub? Because a jacuzzi, I understand, it has a different functionality, but what's a hot tub?
A hot tub is a jacuzzi.
Oh, so it still needs the bubbles?
Yeah, there's no such thing as a bubbleless hot tub, right? Surely not.
I also don't think that, I don't support jacuzzis as a concept.
Well, why not?
I just think it's odd, isn't it?
Communal,
it's like
bubble times.
It's like, yeah, a bubbly human soup.
Mm. Keep talking.
It's not
yeah,
for me.
It is, yeah.
It's not for me, it's not for me.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been in many jacuzzis? No.
Have I ever exposed
have you ever been in
any
jacuzzi?
Part of myself to a stranger?
You've never been in a jacuzzi? You can't really have an opinion on me until you've... me and you, right now, let's go to a spa.
I don't think I have been in a jacuzzi, at least in my adult life.
Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable stuff there. The listeners are stunned. I hope we were sitting down when you heard that. One of these hosts has never been in a jacuzzi. And yet, it's fucking ruling decree over the idea of the jacuzzi.
Well, I don't like the idea of it, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, but you don't know until you're in there. Oh, you might,
don't
you
know
might,
because you tried it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might be a jacuzzi guy. And you'll never know. And that's really sad. That's genuinely heartbreaking for me. You'll never know. You'll spend your whole life going, no, fuck jacuzzis. Imagine if you did that with pasta. You were like, you didn't trust pasta shapes. You were like, I'm never going to try that. And you don't know how great it is. And now imagine eating pasta in a jacuzzi. I mean, come on, that's pretty good, right? A little bubbly penne. Come on.
Am I boiling the pasta in the jacuzzi?
Yes. And then you get a little sieve. You get it out. And you just chuck it down your open gullet.
Oh, it tastes like me.
Me pasta. Totally me.
What were we even talking about?
I don't know.
Washing up. There wasn't a film there, really. Let's be fair.
No, cheers. But thanks for your time, Johnny. And we're actually recording this on a Saturday, so I imagine right now you're probably getting the marigolds on and ready for another weekend. Here's one from me. The Miseducation of Cameron Diaz.
So it's Cameron Post? Is that the actual film?
Yeah, I nearly went with The Miseducation of Cameron Post Malone, but I don't want to get accused of being obsessed with Post Malone, so I'll save it for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Miseducation of Cameron Diaz. I'm thinking... Cameron Diaz has been taught some things as a child that she just believed right up until her adult life. So, you know, like the classic one, if an ice cream man's playing the music, it means he hasn't got any ice cream left.
Yeah, dogs can't look up.
Dogs can't look up.
All that stuff.
If a dog's driving an ice cream van, he can't look at the traffic lights, so steer clear of him. That kind of thing. That's the kind of stuff you get taught as a kid.
What, like, do you remember, blatant lies your mates told you? Like, I remember really vividly a kid telling me that he went to a market... And there's a song by Limp Bizkit called My Way on the Highway. And yeah. He claimed that there was a bootleg cassette of that. And instead of My Way on the Highway, it said My Way on the Motorway.
the British version.
Yeah, some way to bootleg it. They were like, well, we better, we don't want Limp Bizkit suing us. But if we change this word...
The Brits won't get it. They won't understand the lyrics unless we say motorway.
So, yeah. And school is full of people lying to you and you broadly believing it. And then
big time.
Eventually you have to go to your parents and say, I don't believe anymore in anything.
I'm off to have a bath.
So we just find out, like egg horns and stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. She does something really dumb on set or something like that.
And then...
What are you doing? And she thought, I thought everyone did this. Like, I really vividly remember this episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. There's an episode. I don't know anything about Everybody Loves Raymond, right? But it was on a lot. Weird. It's like Frasier. I don't really know anything about Frasier, but I've probably seen like 100 hours of it.
That's weird and true.
Yeah.
He didn't like his parents who lived across the street, and apparently everyone loved him.
I mean, everybody loves Raymond. But he had a brother that was like a bit of a bumbling oaf character. And I remember this episode where he did this thing where he couldn't eat food unless he touched it to his chin first. And that was like the whole theme of the episode. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he'd get like a fork full of his food and then like tap it on his chin and then put it in his mouth. And that was like the whole thing of the episode. I think about that quite a lot. It's a weird thing, right? Quite often I'll be eating something new and I think, oh, what would it be like for Raymond's brother to eat this? Like ice cream and stuff. Nightmare. Like a crisp, probably fine.
I hope that every episode up until that point, he had never been seen eating food because...
Or he'd been doing it and no one had noticed. That would be genius.
That would be
and that's the kind of level they were offering at over at Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right. So Cameron Diaz, it turns out she knows nothing. And so she goes back to school.
Great stuff.
The school of life.
The school of life.
Being taught by someone like Kevin Hart, probably.
Kevin Hart, yeah. Jim Broadbent. Those are the kind of guys that will be there.
Kevin Hart's the headmaster and Jim Broadbent's the, like, janitor. Form teacher.
Janitor.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. I like that. Was that your idea?
No.
Oh.
It was Mike's.
Oh.
The magpie.
You confused me. That's right. We don't have a phone number, mate. You can't call us.
You can't call us. But do pop by the window and drop those ideas in as and when you can. Should we do our own ideas?
Yeah.
Me first?
No, me. Atomic Kitten.
Yeah, a nuclear cat.
Why is that? Why did we accept that was a thing? No one ever went, why have you called your band name Atomic Kitten?
But come on, Arctic Monkeys?
It's like...
Arctic Monkeys and Atomic Kitten, when you think about it, are very similar band names.
The second word is an animal.
The first one begins with an A, ends in a C.
Holy shit.
Hang on. Is Alex Turner someone that was in Atomic Kitten? I can't think of any of their names.
Looking back on when we first met.
On the dance floor.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's a thing, I guess, that people do where they kind of, it's like Guns N' Roses. They think they have to like put like two opposite things together. That's a band name.
Yeah, like Arctic and Monkeys. Yeah. They're classic opposite.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
One's an animal, one's a thing.
A climate,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what's this? It's about a little cat that's been in Chernobyl or something?
Yeah. We did one. I don't know if you remember.
No,
we did a
absolutely
film.
Not. I don't know what we're talking about.
We did a film quite early on called Parasic Park, and it was about a giant cat that was incubated in a whale.
This show used to be great.
It was incubated in a whale.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so that it could be that big.
Our imagination was firing on all cylinders that day. I would go back and have a listen to that. So this is just a nuclear cat. It grows green.
It's normal size. We're not going big kaiju level.
Oh, so what happened to it in Chernobyl is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it didn't get big, but maybe it got really strong.
Okay, so it's normal size, but it's like Superman strong.
Evil scientists have discovered that they can't test on humans here because it kills them, but cats have 9 lives, so they can do a repeated amount of tests.
Good.
They just keep bringing them back. And then by the 9th exposure to this nuclear radiation, they're like a super cat. And there is an army of cats coming to fight Boo the Whippet Hound and Mike the Magpie.
Nice.
And they have to rally the local animals together, like the animals of Farthing Wood, to take them down.
I really like this. Mm. Atomic Kitten.
Atomic Kitten. Here's mine, The Killing Fields of Dreams. So.
Oh.
Young baseball team of ghosts. So as I wrote that, it sort of already is that. Because it isn't Field of Dreams, it's a film about a baseball team for ghosts.
Is it?
I think. Imagine if it's not, and I've just thought that in my mind the whole time. If you build it, they will come. They being ghost baseball ghosts.
Do you have to build a real stadium for a ghost baseball team?
That's such a great question, John. And who are the spectators? Or spooktators, all right?
It just seems unnecessary.
It does, yeah. Something about bats.
What, because they're slightly spooky things?
Also quite a spooky thing, yeah. So the Killing Fields of Dreams, there is a ghost baseball team taking on some humans.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So the advantage the ghosts have is that
they're ghosts.
They're ghosts and very difficult to pin down. Mm. But the advantage the humans have is they can sort of pick up the bat and throw the ball. So it's a real war of attrition between the two.
Yeah, wait, what?
So the Killing Fields of Dreams, what do you think about that?
I don't remember hearing about it being a knockabout comedy where they hire a team of ghosts to play baseball.
Maybe that's just the film I want to see.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happens in...
Can you go into HMV and do that? Oh, guys, do you know what I really fancy watching? I love baseball. I love ghosts. You got anything?
Yeah.
And then they make it appear.
You just like... And they give you the DVDs of Ghostbusters and Field of Dreams, and they just push it together so hard that it just becomes a new film.
And they've gone... amazing that they're in such financial trouble and they're able to offer that service. I think not enough people... They advertise that broadly enough. Right, that's the end of the show. That's the end of the show, right? We know it's the end of the show because there's a knock, knock, knock on the studio door. And entering the studio is Giant Prince, here to record a post-hummus album. It's after you've had some hummus.
Oh, that's good.
And we know that it's time for the show because I've forgotten what I say. Anyway, that's that. The winner this week is, I don't know, content?
The listener.
The listener. You're the winner. Well done. And that's that. Thanks for coming and we'll see you another time. Bye.
Did that all the wrong order, but I'm keeping it that way.
Good. Did I?
Yeah, because normally it's the thing that enters the room is the last thing before the lip.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Well, what's difficult to remember is anything. And while I do put a running order together, it stops after the intro. And then it's no man's land. We're just out there in the wilderness, you know, until it ends. Until one of us, essentially the way this podcast works is that one of us has had enough. We reach a point where one of us had enough. We'll go, oh, that'll do. And today it's me because I've had no sleep. I haven't had a single second. I haven't had a single wink. They recommend you get 40 winks a night. And I've not had one wink.
A wink's with one eyelid, right?
Yeah.
That's a blink.
It's 20 blinks. It's 20 blinks. In real money.
Imagine, you don't wink while you sleep. I'm not happy about this.
Yeah, your eyes do some crazy shit when you're asleep.
I'm going to have to do some investigating into this and come back to you on this.
Okay,
I'm not
cool.
Happy. I've grown out my facial hair, Joel. It's starting to get to a point where it's really annoying.
How annoying?
Just annoying. And
How long are you going to go?
Well, the real story is...
It's very you to grow a long beard 2 years after beards are a thing.
Yeah, and also like, this will explain it more and you'll understand, is the reason I'm growing out my facial hair is because the mirror cabinet in our bathroom fell off the wall, so I can't see my own face. So until I can tell that about you.
I'm surprised you ever owned a mirror, given the way you normally turn out.
At uni, there was a mirror in the bathroom, but I'd only ever go in the bathroom like to shower and brush my teeth. Mm. And if you shower, it became so steamy you didn't see yourself.
You forgot what you looked like while you were at
yeah.
uni.
Yeah, and then I'd go home at Christmas. Like, yeah. There's loads of mirrors in my house. It's weird. There's a lot of mirrors in my house.
Yeah, there's a lot of mirrors in my house. Like, you'll just sort of be walking in the hall.
Yeah.
When I check myself out in the hall? Well, when I'm going between the living room and upstairs. Oh, I better check myself out before I go to bed. Love it. Would love, absolutely love, listeners to tweet us the amount of mirrors in their house where they live now and the amount of mirrors in their family home.
Great content. But anyway, the reason I was telling you about eventually once the cabinet shows up, a new cabinet, I will be shaving. But seeing as I've got to this point, I'll probably send you some photos of handlebar,
great,
mutton chops, all that stuff.
You're going to have to put aside a whole Saturday like Johnny does for washing up to get rid of that beard. It's a big task, mate.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.